If you missed the show,
check out Montreal's number one morning show on the go.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy replay podcast.
Okay, so never in my life have I seen somebody stress so much about sauna attire, what they're wearing in a sauna. And Andy, this was a big concern of yours yesterday.
Yeah, well, I've been in my building for about 3 weeks now here in Montreal, in Griffintown, and they have a sauna in the building. And it took me up until yesterday to finally get the courage to go to my sauna because I really didn't know what to wear.
Why?
Well, I'm the type of guy that when I go to a sauna, I do the towel.
Okay.
Like just the towel.
Nothing underneath it?
Yeah, nothing underneath it. I like to feel free and loose and myself in my saunas.
Okay.
And, well, the sauna in my building, it's a unisex sauna. So I wasn't really sure, do I go down in a towel?
No, you wear your bathing suit.
Well, that seems weird to me, though.
Why? To wear a bathing suit? I think that's generally what happens in saunas. It's like when you go to a spa, one of those like hydro spas, that's what you're doing. You're in the pools and generally there is a sauna next to a pool. So that's normally what you see, I think.
Maybe it's because I've only gone to the saunas in gyms and stuff like that. And they're in the guys' locker room or the girls' locker room. So I've only just gone to the guys' locker room sauna. So, you know, it's kind of common play. It's just wear your towel. Or nothing at all, but preferably wear a towel, and that's that. But I know I can't do that in my building, so I was avoiding it all the way up until yesterday.
I'm trying to decide. Like, I don't think I've ever been in an all-female sauna. Like, where I don't... Does it just happen more often at men's health centers? Way more men's health centers than female?
Well, when you go to like a Strom spa or something, which you've been to, those are all unisex or are those divided by sex?
No, both. Okay. Men and women.
Interesting. I mean, at my gym, and I think at most gyms that have saunas, they are in the respective locker rooms.
Yeah.
I know in other parts of the world, like in Japan, all the hot springs, the saunas there are all men and women divided.
So, really?
Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm going to Strom spa this weekend in Quebec City, and there will be both men and women everywhere. And we're wearing our bathing suits and our robes and living our life.
Just a regular bathing suit?
Yeah. Well, yes. Like, what is a non-regular bathing suit?
I don't know. Women always have like different types of bathing suits for everything. I don't know.
Well, there's one piece, two piece, all that sort of stuff, I guess. Yeah. But it doesn't really matter. It's still
the
bathing
frills,
suit.
Though, yeah.
I don't understand why this is so confusing.
Well, I mean, but the thing is, I have a feeling like the sauna in your building, anyone hardly uses it, right?
That was the good news yesterday, is I was the only one in the sauna for about a good 30 minutes. But I did say to myself, if anybody comes in, I'm just going to politely excuse myself and I'll be done.
Because you were so embarrassed to be there in your bathing suit.
Yes, yeah.
Okay,
this is
here's
very
the thing.
Intimate.
I think it's more about the fact that you didn't want to be in the... You were going to be uncomfortable if there was a woman in there, period, I think. Not... Do you know what I mean? Because you're used to only being in saunas with men.
No, so because maybe, I'm feeling fat these days.
That's it. Like, so there be... That's... You're not fat, for the record. He's not fat. But that was more what it was about then, I guess, than anything, right? Because there's no... If there were men in there, there's no real difference between wearing a towel or a bathing suit.
I think if a guy came in, the first thing I would have looked to see if he was wearing a towel or a bathing suit. I would have judged him accordingly.
Okay.
Accordingly. So I wore my bathing suit and then I put a towel over top of it so I could feel at home.
Okay, so you were very well
put
together.
You know what the veteran move would have been was to have printed out a sign that says out of order, stick it on the door, go in there naked. No one's coming in on an out of order sauna.
I'll do that for next time.
Well, I'm glad you got your sauna in.
Yeah, it felt good.
You're glowing today.
Thank you.
Glowing.
Now wash your bathing suit.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
So one of us hasn't seen the most viewed movie of all time and admitted it yesterday on Instagram, The Beat 925. It's Nikki, Sam, and Andy, Oscars this Sunday night. People kind of unsure how it's going to go with no host and how long it's going to go, which it every year goes so long, doesn't it? Oh, I can't take it.
Yeah.
But every year at this time, I kind of start thinking about how I've never seen any of the nominated movies, and I have no interest to. I'll never watch any of them. They're just...
You're calling it now?
Yeah.
Wait, Black Panther is going to be big this year, and that is an amazing movie.
And that's
movie.
The only one I've seen.
Yeah, and it's so good, right?
So I'm cheering for Black Panther for just about every single category. But it got us talking about on Instagram, the hashtag admit movies you've never seen. And all three of us have actually never seen movies in the top 10 of the most movies of all time.
The most viewed movies, yeah.
Yeah, so Nikki, what was the movie that you've never seen?
The Godfather.
Which came in at number 9.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't get the cultural references surrounding The Godfather. I really don't want to see it. I feel like I should now.
Tell us how you really feel.
I should now, but it made me realize I was thinking about the movies I hadn't seen in the the ones that are on this list, the top viewed movies. When I was younger, I really fell into the gender norm thing. And I really stayed watching movies that were marketed toward women. And it wasn't until I was older. You know, I really, it's so stupid, but as a kid, I thought there were girl movies and boy movies. And it wasn't until I was older that I was just like, like Iron Man is one of my favorite movies of all time, you know? So I have broadened my horizon a little bit in the last few years in my adult life. But yeah, The Godfather didn't happen.
I'm kind of the same way. I have, but when I was a kid, 16 Candles, that was a movie that I just thought, that's a girl movie, so I'm never going to see
it. But
now
you love it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, let's skip ahead to the top five. Lord of the Rings is number five most viewed movie of all time. Sam, what was your movie? Because it came in at number four.
Star Wars.
Right.
The never original. Seen Star Wars?
Yeah, no, I never got into it. I don't get the whole galaxy, intergalactic stuff. I don't know what's going on
I don't
there.
Get the difference between Star Trek and Star Wars.
Oh, okay.
No, they're the same thing to me, and I normally call it Star Trek also, which really
Star
pisses
Trek,
people off.
Yeah. Isn't that an artist?
I don't know.
I made a terrible mistake working with you. Oh, my God. Number three was The Wizard of Oz. Number two was E.T. for the most viewed movies
so
of all
good.
Time.
Yeah. So good. I was terrified of it as a kid, but good movie.
E.T.? Yeah, he's a scary little skinny guy, wasn't he? And then number one, I have never seen this movie, was The Titanic.
That blows my mind that you've never seen it.
Well, I know what happens. The ship goes down.
Yeah, it was just such a big movie at the time. People were seeing it like 7 and 8 times in the theater. I remember people were...
so long.
At the time, people were sitting on the steps in the theater because they didn't want to sit up close. Like, it was so important to them that they were able to take it in the most ideal way.
Owe it to James Cameron to spend 3 hours and 20 minutes of your life to watch this masterpiece. It, like, from beginning to end, it is just phenomenally done and is so historically accurate. The research that went into it, they actually discovered things about the Titanic that they didn't know before filming this because of the research. I mean, this is like...
Calm down. What I've done is I've seen the Celine Dion video for My Heart Will Go On many times. I know what happens. I know Jack dies. I know the boat goes down because I've seen her video. I'm good.
I think we've made a mistake hiring you. Okay. So watch the Titanic. Good morning. It's Nikki, Sam, and Andy, and we are going to keep him. We actually love him. Congratulations on almost making it through your third week, actually, here.
Almost.
Yeah.
So far.
Yeah.
See what today brings.
Been amazing.
Everything you missed from Montreal's favorite morning show.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
So you'll never guess how many Canadian couples don't live under the same roof. And I'm part of these couples currently. So these couples, they're married or in a long-term relationship who basically consider themselves all but married. Nearly 1.5 million Canadians between the ages of 25 and 64 consider themselves to be a couple with someone who lives somewhere else.
Yeah.
They said they wanted to avoid the structural commitments of a normal relationship. So, Sam, you've been with your girlfriend now for 5 years. Would you guys be able to make it work if you were a couple, but you lived apart?
Believe me, there are times that I would like to. but no, that's part of the relationship, is being under the same roof, having to work out your issues, working on compromise. I mean, what's the difference between being in a long, being like separated and just being friends with benefits?
That's your relationship, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, this has been happening for years with people with jobs, like people in the Army or people in the Navy. They often are away for many, many months and then come back home. And I got to tell you, I have a few friends whose husbands are in the Navy, and they say it's like the best thing for them. They said whenever they're together, it's just like fireworks and amazing. And then they go and they miss each other when they're gone.
So that time apart is what makes their time together. That's what makes it
that
much more special.
That's what some people say,
But that's also not by choice. I mean, if you're forced to relocate, that's one thing. I mean, these are people that choose to live in different roofs.
But I can see how people might make that choice based on that working for other people, you know?
Well, that's what they're saying. They're choosing the non-structural relationship. That's what works for them. I can't see it working. I think it's crazy.
I can see it being popular now, too, with online. Like, people are meeting people all over the world, you know? I would have a really hard time with a completely long-distance relationship, like where you only see each other once every like 6 months and you have to travel to do so. But I mean, I am not dead set against, like, you have your place, I'll have my place. We can get together like 3 or 4 nights out of the week and then have our space. I don't hate it.
Well, a lot of these people say that they do this because of the financial incentives to sort of keep their own finances, to not merge accounts. But when you think about it, living apart, you're spending more on your mortgage, like you're almost doubling your expenditures. So it would make more sense, you know, economically speaking, to be under one roof and to split everything. No?
Yeah. It's just interesting to see how much relationships have changed, you know, like back in the day, that would be completely ridiculous if you heard of somebody who's together but lives apart.
Yeah.
Actually, Chrissy Teigen, her parents are married, but her mother lives with her and John Legend, and her father lives in a house like 10 minutes away.
Oh,
no
I'm
joke.
I'm sure
and
John
married.
Legend is loving that.
He comes over, the father comes over every day to see them, and there's their marriage is strong and good. But
must be nice for him, yeah.
Kim, Kieran, would you consider living away from your husband?
After 20-some-odd years of being together, heck yes.
Yes.
It's a great story, but is it true?
Time for Nikki, Sam, and Andy's to tell the truth.
I so look forward to this on Fridays.
My favorite thing we do.
Absolutely. So we have a complete stranger walking in the studio right now, actually. They have a story they're going to share with us, and we have to decide whether they're being truthful or if they're lying, right? Mm-hmm. And you can text along and play along with us at 92925. Okay, so please introduce yourself.
My name's Doug Smith. Yeah, and I am a survivor of the, what you guys know, I guess, as Miracle on the Hudson plane ditching.
Oh, wow,
with Captain Sully.
Captain Sullenberger managed to, you know, ditch successfully into the Hudson River in 2009.
Yeah. Explain to us exactly what happened that day then, because I guess you would know very well.
I was in New York on business, and we were leaving from LaGuardia to go back to Charlotte. And, you know, we took off, and just minutes into the flight, you know, something didn't feel right. And later we found out that we had hit the geese. And then Captain Sullenberger had to eventually just ditch the flight into the Hudson, and then, you know, we were in the water.
Part of me feels wrong just even questioning this story, but we have to ask you questions.
Just in case.
Andy?
So what was the first thing that you did when you found you were going to land in the river?
You don't have time to prepare. You've got the phone now. You start texting people and stuff, but that's not really working great because you're in a plane.
Right.
There's nothing to prepare. There's nothing to prepare for. You just sort of kind of got to brace for impact, like they say, and that's it. And, you know, pray if you're that kind of person, you know?
What did the announcement sound like when Captain Sullenberger had to make the announcement? What did he say? What was the wording that he used?
The craziest part is that if you've been on a plane, you know, the guy stayed cool, calm, and collected the whole time, and it sounded like every other, you know, announcement the guy could have made. Like, he could have been telling us that we were having, you know, chicken. He's just like, identify himself again. So this is your captain, Captain Sullenberger, and he says, unfortunately, you've had a mechanical failure on the plane here. That's what was happening, and, you know, I credit him for staying so cool, calm, and collected the whole time.
Did this whole thing happen quicker than it actually, like...
It happened as quick as you could possibly think it could happen.
Okay.
That's the thing. It was so fast, and it's just like I said, from the point of taking off to the point of there being an issue to the point of then the plane just being landed in the river, it was just boom, 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 you know?
I know there was a lot of drama afterwards. Seeing what the captain, Captain Sully, had to go through prove himself afterward was unbelievable to me.
Right.
So after the incident, had you had a chance to contact him, to thank him, to have a conversation with him, anything?
No, I mean, not personally. We didn't personally speak or anything. I mean, obviously, I saw, like, all the news stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we, like, as for Captain Sullenberger, we, you know, we didn't really keep up or anything. Like, we're not best buds.
You didn't send him flowers?
You know,
to this part
day,
of the job.
To this day, I'm extremely appreciative
of
all he did. But, you know, I'm sure he was inundated with attention afterwards.
What happened with your luggage? Was your
was it dry?
It was soaked. Did you get your luggage back? Like, I know it wasn't on the top of your mind, but we have to decide whether you're telling the truth.
We got our luggage back eventually.
Was it soaked?
Well, by the time we got it, it was all right, but it looked like it had been through a lot.
I have never seen the text line so split on it, to tell the truth.
I am so split on this.
It's really tough.
Jana makes a good point. She said, he said he was only told to embrace for impact, but since the captain knew he was going to the Hudson, he should have told him to put a life vest on, maybe, you know, so she thought he was missing an important factor. But someone else said, I've been right every single time, and I know that he's telling the truth this time, so I don't know.
One says truth. He's been very consistent throughout the entire conversation.
I just love this text. He lied about something. Nikki, what do you think?
I put my finger on it.
This is a really fascinating story. I feel like I could talk to him for hours about this.
Yeah.
If you're telling the truth, that is. Okay, so I think I want him to take my guess first this week. Okay.
Okay. Please.
Okay. Okay, Doug, I think you're telling the truth. Your story is just too perfect. You seem like a really genuine person. If you're lying, my heart's going to be broken because you seem like a nice, honest person, and you just know too much about sort of how you were feeling and what was going on the day that flight landed in the Hudson River. So I'm going to say you're telling the truth. Andy?
I am going to say that you are not telling the truth. I think it's too easy for us to guess that you are. We don't want to be that mean person to guess that you're not telling the truth.
So you're going to be that mean person.
I'm going to be that mean person. You are not telling the truth.
Sam?
Yeah, I think you're telling the truth. You look American. I believe that you are from Charlotte.
What?
And because, you know, it's part of the story. And so you did come back with all the answers. You didn't hesitate. you seemed very profound and sort of very solemn about the whole thing, which I get because it is, you know, it is a miracle after all that you're lucky to have survived and so very humbled by that. So I'm just going to go with my gut and say, yeah.
Telling the truth? Okay. Two of us say you're telling the truth. Andy says you're lying. Doug, lay it on us.
I'm a filthy liar.
But none of that, oh, my God!
None of that was true.
You're kidding me.
This is so easy. I love this game.
Doug!
My name's Walter.
Your name's not even Doug.
No, I'm a stand-up comedian in Montreal.
Get out of here.
Born and raised in the city.
Get out of here.
Yes!
I'm undefeated in this game.
Oh,
I've never been to Charlotte.
God.
There was zero humor in that delivery. That's
Doug.
I'm so sorry.
How do you sleep at night? How do you sleep at night?
I love that you're still calling me Doug.
Walter! Walter, Doug, whatever your name is. You're amazing at that.
I have a job interview later, so hopefully it goes out.
Okay, Walter, I'm going to say Walter. Yeah. Where do you do comedy? Because once I get over how mad I am at you, I might come and see one of your shows. I might.
Well, we're actually starting a new series at Piranha Bar next Tuesday, February 26th, and that's called Piran Ha Ha. There it is, yeah. And it's every second Tuesday at Piranha Bar, and that's going to have comics like Mike Patterson and Derek Sege and David Pride and Rodney Ramsey on it, so good stuff. So.
Any airplane jokes in your set?
Oh, my God.
I don't travel that much.
Maybe now.
Wow. I'm violated. I feel like
He's never been in a plane in his life. How dare you?
I feel like I just got cheated on or something. Walter, you can leave now.
All right.
Okay. It's Rob's fault.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Okay, yeah, people are freaking out on our text line, too, right now. A lot of people are saying, I told you. They saw right through
They're
it.
Rubbing it in.
Saw right
it's
through
easy
it.
In hindsight.
Exactly.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
Online at thebeat925.ca.
Or subscribe on iTunes and Google Play.
And live weekday mornings starting at 5:30.
Montreal's perfect mix. The Beat 925.